Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
If your hair isn't performing like it used to, the answer isn't another hat. It's a proactive approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's also NSF certified for sport and the official hair growth partner of Major League Baseball, the only hair growth supplement trusted by the pros. Visit Nutrafol.com, enter promo code PMT. Get $10 off your first month subscription, and you get free shipping. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code PMT.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast. Episode 46. It's Sunday, May 13th, right? 13th? Yeah, 13th. Happy Mother's Day. None of the co-hosts on this pod.
No, but, you know, it's a good day. It's a good day. It's a relaxing day.
Happy Mother's Day for us for respecting our queens.
Exactly. And you got to post a little something on social media. Maybe get your wedding picture, another excuse to put your wedding picture back up or something like that. Just now, kind of like a little brag on yourself that somehow tangentially involves your mother.
Did your 5 hour old baby give your wife a Mother's Day gift? What was it?
Ooh. I got my wife a Mother's Day gift from the baby, but I'm not going to talk about that. Look, that's too personal, Jeff.
I didn't say what it was. I just said,
no, I'm just saying, I'm not going to talk about shopping yet. Yeah. No, I mean,
she actually stunning silence from your baby regarding
really leave the house yet.
Oh. Okay.
No, continue the joke, Ken Jay.
Yeah. Keep the joke going.
I respond very poorly to that. It was personal attacks on my family from my co-host. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Didn't know if you had a baby genius's baby. Just wasn't sure.
Ooh, we should watch that.
Or Boss
we
Baby.
Should. Well, between that or Son of the Mask, what would you rather watch? Baby Geniuses or Son of the Mask? I think Baby Geniuses 2 is the one that people say is one of the worst movies of all time.
Bad. I think Son of the Mask is more on brand.
Yeah, I agree. Know?
It's very on brand.
Yeah, well, we said we're going to watch that. We probably will eventually. If that's on Netflix, that'd be a good one for us to do.
Ken Jack,
but
how you feeling today? You hydrated today?
No, is the answer to that question. I'm very hungover, and it's mostly because we were playing the Rotten Tomatoes game, which Jeff always smokes me in because he's seen 50 billion more movies than me and has played this game many times, in which I have not. And we also played Fuck the Dealer, and I lost like 10,000 hands in a row. And so I was very drunk last night. I was tipsy, and I figured out just how tipsy I was because when I got home, I did an act that I shouldn't have done because it was very disrespectful to my roommate. So my roommate made a bunch of cookies, right? And she put them out like on our kitchen counter. And I've been looking at them for like 3 days. I just keep looking at them. They're in the back of my head. Like, these cookies look really good. And then I wake up this morning and I go and look at the counter and the cookies are devastated, like fucking torn up. And I'm like, damn, who did that? So I go out and I fucking go hang out with my mom. All right, like for Mother's Day, I come home today and then I go to open my bedroom door and my bedroom door has like a fucking handprint of chocolate on it, like a swipe stain of chocolate on the door from when I drunkenly savaged my way back into my bedroom. So not a great night, not a banner night for me last night.
Was your roommate mad that you ate all the cookies?
I have not asked her about it.
I thought that's where the story was going because it could go either one or two ways, man. She could either not care or she could be really mad at you. It could be a bad situation. You might need to look through Craigslist right now for a new roommate situation in the upcoming year. I don't know.
I'll just come live with you, Troll.
That's like from Bad Santa when he rips up the advent calendar exactly. and eats all the chocolate. That's basically what you did. Exactly, but you're just that, not yeah. Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah. Oh, man. That's tough. That's a tough look. Anyway, movie news. Let's talk some movies. We're going to answer listener questions in a little bit, but we got some movie news to get to. A big movie is coming out next week. Solo, A Star Wars Story. We're going to see it next week. Wait, next week? Yeah, next week. Technically, this is this week. Next week is Memorial Day weekend. So Solo, A Star Wars Story already premiered. Very rare for a movie this big to premiere so early on before the movie comes out. Like 2 weeks for things to be spoiled is crazy. There's apparently some big spoilers in this movie. We won't get into it. Not worth spoiling stuff that we've heard or we've seen so far. But so far, the reactions are fairly similar. People saying first act is very tough, which is actually what they said about Rogue One. And they said that it's a fun heist movie and picks up along the way. Some people say they're not big fans of it. Christian Harloff, friend of the pod, kind of, because he hasn't been on yet, but still friend of the pod. From Collider, the Schmodowns, he said he didn't like it at all. Like, it's fine, not my thing. I saw somebody compare it to Infinity War. They were like, that was a better spectacle than Infinity War. It's like, all right, chill the fuck out. I saw someone say it's their favorite Star Wars movie. So it ranges pretty high and low, but I think the consensus is that it's a tough first act, it's a fun movie, and that's kind of where it is. So expectations now after hearing that. Mine haven't moved. I assume it's going to be kind of a mess, and as well, I hope it's just fun. Hope it's a fun movie. That's really all I care about on that front.
Solo seems like it's going to be fun no matter what to me. I don't really care what the critics are saying in either direction, because in my personal fandom, I'm going to like it. And I think that applies for both me and you, and probably Trill as well.
Yeah.
And that when you're a big fan of a movie, it really doesn't matter who's going to try and bring you down, because we're going to like it. It doesn't matter. It's going to be shit. We probably like it. It's going to be good. We're going to like it. So looking forward to liking it.
I hope, like I said, I think last week or the week before, I hope it's in the mid-70s to low-80s range. That's where I'd like to have this movie be. I don't need it to be anything crazy. It just needs to be fun. It just needs to be a little bit of fun. Look, we're seeing it Thursday night. We're seeing it in 3D. I'm going to the beach the day after. I don't know what your Memorial Day plans are, but I'm looking forward to going to the beach, you know, wearing shorts, you know, whatever you do around the beach. So I just want a fun movie to kick off that weekend. That's all I'm looking for. And if this is a fun movie, then so be it. That's all we really need. We need a fun movie. I don't care if the first act is rough. Ken Jack, yeah. So your opinion hasn't really changed. Mine hasn't changed. Trill, what about you? Expectations the same or different after the Solo premiere?
I think my expectations are a little bit higher, just a tiny bit higher. Just a tiny bit higher. Not too much of an increase in expectations, because I don't want to be disappointed. The way I always feel about these big premieres for big Star Wars movies is that audience is very self-selecting, I feel like. Of course, people who go to see a Star Wars movie on the premiere and this big fan event, it almost seems like a fan event rather than a critic event, but that people are going to gush over it. You're really into Star Wars, you might like this movie. I'm probably going to like this movie, but I don't want to project this crazy nonsense talk of it being my favorite Star Wars movie. I don't think that'll be the case. And that whole thing about the slow first act, that's exactly what happened in Rogue One too. Just like you said, Jeff. So, you know, look, I don't have anything else to say about this movie, except I saw a commercial today. I saw a commercial for the Denny's Han Solo movie. Now, when a movie gets big enough and it gets enough hype, it gets its own special menu at Denny's. This last happened with The Hobbit and the Shire breakfast items. Now, Solo has special menu items at Denny's, and let me read to you the names of some of these. The Blaster Fire Burger, the Co-Reactor Pancake Breakfast, the Two Moon Skillet, the Lightspeed Slam, and the Crystal Crunch Your Milkshake. It's called the Crystal Crunch Your Milkshake. I don't understand why, but they have very... Do any of these names give us spoilers for the movie, fellas? And are you excited about this Denny's menu?
I don't think any spoilers, but I mean, I don't know where Ken Jack and I would even go find a Denny's for this.
I was about to say, I don't think I've ever been to Denny's.
I've been to a Denny's, but I don't know where one's at right now. The only Denny's I can tell you exactly where it is on the Las Vegas Strip. Other than that, I'm not sure if there are actually permanent Denny's. I think they're pop-up shop locations, and they just randomly spring up and close. Actually, there's one in Bloomington, Indiana.
It's like Schrodinger's Denny's. I get what you're saying here. I get
yes, exactly, yes, right? You fucking asshole.
I'd like if they did this with like Applebee's or a more, wide stream chain restaurant. Applebee's would be cool. Could do like Dagobah-themed wings. Something like that.
Blaster Fire Burger. Blaster Fire. It's not just the blaster burger. It is the fire that comes out of the blaster on a burger. How could you not love that?
That's pretty cool.
So to conclude, a little bit more excited about Solo based off of these initial reviews. Super excited about this Denny's menu I will never eat. Denny's sponsor the pod.
Please.
Yeah, the last Denny's I ate at was back home in Texas in Austin. I think it's a Verizon store now. So it's just not, it doesn't exist. I'm looking right now, the closest one to Ken Jack and I, there actually is a Denny's in Lower Manhattan. Holy shit. There's a Denny's right by, is that the World Trade Center? Yeah, it's like two blocks from the World Trade Center.
Imagine like some finance bros just being like, yeah, just fucking crush this TPS report. Time to go get some flapjacks at Denny's. Like so many other options in the financial district.
I just shorted AMD. I'm going to go fucking get some moons over Miami.
Fuck.
We may have cornered ourselves to have to go to Denny's and then go see Solo. We may have just
cornered Solo ourselves. Items. Yep. I think you did.
I did not expect to find one in Manhattan. That's surprising. Okay, so if you tweet us enough, we maybe will end up at Denny's and then go see Solo. Closed? Permanently closed. Never mind. It's gone. Okay. Why is it still on the map? I'll never get that, why shit's on Google Maps and it's like permanently closed. It just kind of wants to mess with you.
Are millennials like picture, killing Denny's? My column.
The picture for Denny's on Google Maps in New York, and then we'll move on, is a avocado breaded chicken salad.
Does Denny's do Twitter clapbacks like Wendy's or any other brand?
Yeah, they kind of started it. They were one of the first. One of the first new wave social media accounts. It used to be that social media accounts didn't act like people; they acted like a brand, and now they act like people. Denny's kicked that off a little bit. Now they're not really known for it anymore. Wendy's carries that torch, but yeah, Denny's. Yeah, don't you remember Denny's used to like go viral all the time because like Drake would drop a music video and they'd like put an egg over Drake's face or something like that and make the music about the eggs, and you know, like 32,000 retweets off of that, just some dumb stuff.
I thought they tweeted something that they got like shit on for. I thought that's where probably. I remember them.
Oh, I'm sure they did at some point. You know,
like so they tweeted like happy. Like on 9/11 tweeted like this double stack of pancakes and like never forget and just got destroyed online.
They did not do that.
Tweeted. Fleshlight tweeted on 9/11. That's a very famous one.
SpaghettiOs is the best.
SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs wasn't that, but it was another bad tweet about another.
SpaghettiOs was Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor, yeah.
Also, I always have to mention Pop Chips on Martin Luther King Day said, we have to celebrate Martin Luther King, an eternal poptimist. That's a rough one. Yeah. Jammer. Brands. Gotta love brands. Okay, moving on.
Sponsor the pop.
Sponsor the pop chips. I was not, or SpaghettiOs. I was going to skip over this one, Peter Jackson potentially doing a DCEU movie. But we just mentioned The Hobbit, and I hate The Hobbit movies because they're money grabs. Okay, we'll talk about that. Peter Jackson, if he did a DC movie, would that intrigue you? Would it make you want to see it? Okay.
I think it would intrigue me. I can't guarantee you if it will be good or not. The Hobbit was bad. I mean, The Hobbit was trash. That really lowered like my standards of what I consider a Peter Jackson movie to be like. But they weren't intended to be three movies, I don't think. I don't blame him. He was just trying to get the money on that one, fellas. So, you know, can't hate too much. But yeah, it intrigued me. It wouldn't make me think the movie was going to be good or anything. I just would kind of go in and say, hey, this is a Peter Jackson Batman versus Joker movie.
Dude, let him do Plastic Man, which I guess is the DC version of fucking Mr. Fantastic, since he knows how to like stretch things way past where they should have stopped. That's a recycled joke. I apologize for that one.
That's okay. You got new listeners. They probably didn't hear that before. It's new to them.
Shitting on Jim from The Office.
The thing with Peter Jackson is he obviously gets a very good reputation because of the Lord of the Rings movies, which is, I mean, yeah, I'm not complaining. Like, he should. But the Hobbit movies, man, I fucking hate those movies. And you're right, Trevor. They were not meant to be three movies. So The Hobbit itself, I believe, is shorter than each Lord of the Rings book. Even if it's longer, they're like very similar. And every Lord of the Rings book got its own movie. Just one movie per book. The Hobbit got three. And that's just, man, that's selling out. I would never sell out like that. Ever.
Mm-mm. Never.
Never. Would never sell out like that. You know, just go for the money. For the sake of the brand. But Peter Jackson, it would intrigue me, I guess. But if you said that Christopher Nolan was going to do a DCEU movie, I'd be like, okay, well, that's a different story. But Peter Jackson, you know, we'll see. He's not a guarantee every time he comes out with a movie it's going to be great. You know, and he's going to probably release a four-hour movie because you know he loves long movies. So,
yeah, I guess so. I mean, The Lovely Bones. What'd you guys think about that one? That was like the big Peter Jackson movie before he went into The Hobbit. But other than that, the other one I could think of is King Kong. And that was just okay. The Lord of the Rings were great, but I'm not sure this is a slam dunk. If they got Peter Jackson, I wouldn't say it was a slam dunk. Chris Nolan would be a slam dunk. This would not be.
Yeah. King Kong, which, by the way, wasn't that movie like 3 hours and 15 minutes?
It stunk too, every second of it.
So fucking long. And that's the one that stink? Critics like it. Audience is very divisive on it. So
yeah, similar it was 187 minutes.
Oh my God. That's damn wholly unnecessary for a movie about a giant gorilla. Just not needed. Shout out to Adrian Brody from that movie we watched. Donnie, what was it called? Which one was he in?
Which one?
Adrian Brody. What was the movie he was in?
Oh,
the pianist?
Dragon or
Dragonblade or
Dragonblade. Yeah, Dragonblade. It was Dragonblade.
Dragonblade. Okay.
Yeah. The other one was Wolf Warrior and then the Mermaid. He obviously wasn't in the Mermaid. Okay, so Peter Jackson's King Kong has an 84% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So I wouldn't say it was universally despised.
No, but audience score is a 50 though. So the audience.
Oh.
Which I feel like The Last Jedi popularized the audience score again in Rotten Tomatoes because everyone went back to the audience rating because critics love Last Jedi and audience was split down the middle. So we got to say that. It's a 50 as well. So, I mean, look, yes, I'd be intrigued, but I wouldn't need a three-hour DC movie. That's for sure. Wouldn't need it.
The rule about Rotten Tomatoes score is whichever one best suits to use in your argument, you got to go with that one. So I'm
for sure
going with the critic's score for King Kong, saying it was an okay movie.
Here's a story that I really want Trill's opinion on, because you've voiced more opinions on the Austin Powers franchise than I think any of us. Some unsolicited, too. Apparently, Mike Myers wants to do another Austin Powers movie, but through the eyes of Dr. Evil. Yes or no to that?
Oh, that's tough. I would have to say no. I feel like by the time they got to the third movie, Dr. Evil was 70% of the movie anyway.
Yeah.
Is he talking about recreating the first Austin Powers, but from the perspective, is like a Wicked type thing where it would just be through the perspective of Dr.
No.
Evil or just one that is more like, it's like his version of Infinity War and Dr. Evil is Thanos. So you got the bad guys, the primary character to follow around, I guess.
He says, I would love to do a movie from Dr. Evil's perspective. So it would be Dr. Evil 1, Austin Powers 4. No, it would just be. No, it would just be like a new movie. But even so,
it might be kind of interesting if they do something that is maybe a prequel about like Dr. Evil's life or upbringing or something like that.
Well, they were in the car together when the fucking their parents crashed, right? So, like, what his upright bringing after that?
Yeah, just do something like that. I mean, it could be kind of funny. It's hard though because I don't know what Mike Myers has been up to. Do you guys know what he's been up to?
He said In the article, he said something like, yes, I've just been so busy raising my kids. That's like why I've not been doing movies. And it's like, no, it's probably because the fucking Love Guru is like the worst piece of shit ever created. And you got wrecked online for it.
That was pretty bad. Well, good for him, man. As a dad, as a also a dad, I respect that decision. I just don't know if that Austin Powers type humor plays to like a 2018, 2019, 2020 new release. Cause that's a tightrope to walk. You got to balance it out with doing something fresh and different, and also balance it out with doing something that, you know, the silhouette jokes and the classic Austin Power jokes, you know, and love, you got to include those. And also Vern Troyer can't be in it because he just passed away. Okay. That's a big loss. Like Mini-Me was a big part of that franchise.
His last movie technically was Shrek Forever After. Last movie where he has a role. He played Shrek, obviously. And before that, he was in
The Love Guru?
No.
Oh, Up in the Air or Top of the World?
No.
The airplane movie with Gwyneth Paltrow?
It's not an obvious pick. You're thinking of Mordecai. It's not obvious.
He played Inglourious Bastards.
Yes, Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
What?
He was a British officer.
Oh, or, fuck.
Or parliament member or something like that.
But he's actually in a movie coming out in 2 days ago. Wait, what? He's in a movie with Margot Robbie, Simon Pegg. Who else Terminal, is in this right? movie? Yeah, Terminal. He's in that movie. And then apparently he's in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie.
He's making a comeback. I'm thinking this Austin Powers movie is going to happen. You know what? I'm buttering. I'm getting on board right now. I'm 100% behind this Mike Myers comeback. Just do something a little bit different, and I'll be there. You don't have to sell me too hard on this. I want something new, but if he just retreaded the old Austin Powers stuff, I'm fine with that too.
Interesting. Okay.
Bring in Dana Carvey to do something. Reunite him with Garth.
Little Mike Myers revival going on here. Last bit of news, and then we're going to do some listener questions. Last week, was it Sunday? I don't know. It was either last Sunday or the last episode. We talked about Bright 2. And Trill, you made the joke. Yes, Bright 2 is the Will Smith cop movie everybody wants a sequel of. Like, this is the one everyone's asking for. However, the news came out days later that Bad Boys 3 is actually happening. So the joke, I guess, you know, now the joke falls by the wayside because you're going to get both Will Smith cop sequel movies. Bad Boys 3, 2020 Bad Boys for release life. Date. Yeah, what are we thinking here? Are we excited? Also, you kind of got grilled a little bit, or we all did, for saying you didn't care about the Bill and Ted sequel either. So do you care about this one, Bad Boys 3?
I super care about Bad Boys for Life 2020. I think that this is obviously going to be the final film of the Bad Boys trilogy, and they need to go out with a bang. So I'm super excited for Will Smith to get back into this role, Martin Lawrence to join up with him. The difference between this and Bill and Ted is I liked the original Bad Boys movies way more than I liked the original Bill and Ted movies. Don't get me wrong. Bill and Ted's fun from a nostalgia standpoint, but not that great of movies. Whereas Bad Boys, not that great of movies, but still fun.
Definitely more fun. I'm super buttered for this too, dude. This is going to be a ton of fun. And Will Smith lately has been on like a tear on social media, just in general. His Instagram stories and like these little videos. He did the one that he like illustrated the origin story for Fresh Prince. It was awesome. He's really on a tear, and I'd love to see him cap it off with Bad Boys 3.
I would love to see Will Smith start to do. I kind of feel like he got into this routine where he'd do like one big Will Smith movie a year, like 7 Pounds. Focus, Concussion, Collateral Beauty. I mean, those are on off years, but I feel like these were like big winter home run swings trying to get an Oscar nod. And I'd love to see him take more roles that are just like
fun, dude.
Action star, fun, or like be the bad guy, like be evil in a movie. Cause I can't remember Will Smith ever being a bad guy. Just do something different. I don't know.
Concussion.
His next big role is Aladdin. He plays the genie that comes out next year.
Yeah, and that sounds fun. Dude, you think he smiled in the last like 10 years with all those movie roles? You're also miserable.
Focus, Concussion. Like Focus is that was the one with Margot Robbie, right?
Yeah, it was a con man one.
Yeah. Oh, Winter's Tale. I don't even remember that one. He wasn't the star of that one. Yeah, 7 pounds or whatever it was. Pursuit of Happiness was happiness. Good though. Yeah. I Am Legend was great though. I would say I Am Legend is probably my last liked Will Smith movie. Or last you really like liked Earth? No.
Oh man.
After Earth fucking reeked.
And Hancock could have been better too. I liked the first half of Hancock. I didn't like the twist. If you know what that twist is.
Man, I'm trying to look here. So Hancock, so I Am Legend. After that came Hancock, The Human Contract, The Secret Life of Bees, Lakeview Terrace, 7 pounds. Oh, I forgot about Lakeview Terrace. Is that the one with Samuel Jackson too?
I don't even see these. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. Okay. This must be like the abbreviated Wikipedia.
Yeah, you are. So, okay, after Lakeview Terrace, 7 pounds, The Karate Kid, This Means War, Men in Black 3, After Earth. Oh, he's a
Some of these are production credits. Yeah, some of these are production credits. He's in less than that.
Winter's Tale, Focus, yeah, Concussion, Suicide Squad, obviously not that. Collateral Beauty was a runny dump of a movie. And then Bright, which Bright was awesome.
I'm happy for him. I like what he's doing on social media. I like Bad Boys for Life. I'm going to be excited about Aladdin. I'm glad that not everything he's doing is trying to do stuff like Concussion and 7 pounds and big prestige movies, but I do want to see him do something a little bit different. I thought he would have been like, he would be great in like a John Wick movie. Can you imagine if they had him in like John Wick 3 as the bad guy or something like that?
That'd be cool.
And they held that a secret until the movie released. You never do that, but my hope is that they always get like another 90s movie star to be a bad guy to John Wick. Like John Wick versus Jack Reacher. Who says no?
I wouldn't say no to that.
Not I wouldn't me. Say no. John Wick versus Jack Reacher versus Jason Bourne.
At this point, I trust anything with John Wick. Like I'm just going to trust anything they do until it's not good. Because I was such a hater when that first trailer for the first movie came out, and then you watched it, and you're like, what the fuck? That was awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait believe anything. Yeah. Oh, wait. Last bit of news. Forgot about this one. Kenobi, the Star Wars spinoff anthology, a Star Wars story, Kenobi, a Star Wars story, whatever it's going to be called, is going to be filming next year, apparently. That's the rumor. So just one easy, quick question. If Ewan McGregor is not Kenobi, will you give a shit about this movie?
I say yes. Even if he wasn't, he's the obvious choice and they have to pick him. And I'll be super mad and triggered online if they don't, but I'm still going to care regardless, unless they pick someone really fucking bad for Kenobi.
My problem is there's a sickness in my brain that makes me care about Star Wars movies, regardless of who is in them or not. And so, yes, if he is not in the movie and they decided that it's direct to DVD, I am still going to care about this movie, unfortunately. I do not want the Kenobi movie, though. I do not really want that right now.
Worst person, in your opinion, for them to pick for Kenobi instead of Ewan?
Like Owen Wilson? I don't know.
Seth Green?
Are we talking about like the worst? Like, just say like Kevin James or something?
No, like realistic picks. Like I could see somebody like Patrick Wilson being cast for that.
Oh yeah. Jesse yeah. Eisenberg. Oh no, I wouldn't. I like Patrick Wilson, but not as Kenobi, dude. Would they go that young though? I don't think they would go. Like I feel like you gotta get someone in their 40s or something like that.
I mean, look, here's the deal. They cannot make this movie unless Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan. Like there really is no option. There isn't an option because, first of all, they pissed enough people off with Solo to begin with. Enough people are upset about The Last Jedi that they should care a little bit, even though the movie made $1 zillion. Just give the people what they fucking want. They want Ewan McGregor. They want it. Yeah.
Rob Schneider.
I think that it would be nice if it would be a Rob Schneider movie and it would be a Jabba's Palace heist movie. Where he was trying to plan a heist from Jabba's palace.
What was the movie Rob Schneider wore the earrings and it swapped him with the girl, like the high school girl?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name of the movie.
Something stupid, like The Big Swap. I don't remember.
Ah.
Shit.
Well, here's a list, and then we'll move on to questions. This is a list from Bustle.com. I'm sorry, Bustle, you're the first one I clicked on. People who can play Obi-Wan in the upcoming spinoff movie if it's not Ewan McGregor? Finn Wolfhard?
What?
No. What? Jamie
Dornan?
We need to really go ahead and define this range of age here.
Here you go. If there's a movie involving fantasy type stuff, Star Wars or comic books, Chris Pratt every time. Chris Pratt is always listed for everything. They cited Harry Styles because of Dunkirk. And yeah, that's it.
He had like two lines in Dunkirk. What would make him be able to play fucking Kenobi?
Because they're just throwing that out there for clicks. Yeah. Dishonest people. Just dishonest people on the internet. Who would ever stoop to that level? Please like
somebody and subscribe. Somebody posted in our Reddit actually a Infinity War ranking which had Captain America, or an Infinity War, and a Marvel movies ranking which had Captain America number one. And like, that's such an obvious troll job. Like, you have to be a little more inventive. Like, make Iron Man 3 number one.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you're just being an asshole at that point. You're doing it for clicks.
Yeah.
So that's news. Some interesting news there. We obviously have a lot going on in the next few weeks. We're going to be reviewing Truth or Dare this upcoming week. And we're also going to be doing a segment where you draft the most annoying movie characters of all time to make a team. We're not going to do teams every week, but guess what? We tweeted out yesterday, which was Saturday, who's the most annoying movie character of all time. Love the responses. So we're going to try to see who can have the most annoying movie team possible. And then I think for Star Wars week, for Solo, A Star Wars Story, we are going to do a thing where we build the worst Star Wars movie possible. So plot lines, characters, directors, everything. We got to build the worst Star Wars movie imaginable. But this week it's going to be most annoying character and the movie Truth or Dare, which may be online on some platforms, by the way. So check that out. Questions, movie questions from listeners. So there's one that is not a movie related question. I just felt like we should try and answer it. First up, how many movies have you cried at? Also, did you cry watching the movie Click starring Adam Sandler? Trebones, you first.
I'll start backwards. I didn't cry at Click. When we say how many movies have you cried at, is it like crying in the actual movie theater or like cried while watching the movie?
Like in any scenario.
Okay.
Cried watching, period.
I think like the closest I've come to really crying from a movie was About Time, which was pretty bittersweet type of movie. I don't remember ever just like really crying during a movie. Maybe I'm repressing that emotion. I think it's totally okay to cry at a movie. Don't get me wrong. I just can't really remember. But About Time comes to mind as like one that like I 100% probably dropped a little tear on.
Interesting. Maybe selection. Two.
Yeah, maybe two. Maybe two.
I also did not cry during Click. I did cry during Children of Men, and I still cry every single time I see that one scene where it's a single shot and they bring the baby down the stairs and like all the fighting stops. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. Just like triggers off my brain, like the scene where the kid in Freaks and Geeks is like watching the stand up and like just laughing to himself with that song playing over it. That scene and the scene in Children of Men, both of those, tears every time. Don't understand why.
I don't know if I've ever actually cried, but I will say Coco was, that was a fucking challenge. Coco was tough. That movie tug at your heartstrings at the end there. Like, and it was like dagger after dagger too. It wasn't even like Pixar, what they usually do, where it's like that one thing at the end. I guess Toy Story 3, I kind of got a little emotional at the end of Toy Story 3 when you see, you know, Andy drive away and wave goodbye to those toys. So like that was close, but that's like one punch. Coco was like many things. The singing, the death, and then like a reunion. You're like, oh my God, how are you doing this? And at that point, you're already emotionally distraught after the Frozen short to begin with. So Coco was a good one. That was a good test. And I hate saying I haven't because I don't want to sound like a hardo, but yeah, that was pretty tough. I do remember somebody behind me crying very hard when I saw Rugrats in Paris in the theaters. I think of like when Chucky's mom, like a flashback of Chucky's mom dying or something. I don't know.
And there's nothing wrong with crying at a movie, even if I can't remember. I wish I could cry during more movies because I think emotionally it's a nice relieving thing to do. I'm just not I'm not a big crier. It's hard to get me to cry.
Oh, tough guy.
Like, Well, no, I've said many times I'm a big old soft boy on this podcast, but it's just like
trying to like flex on us, Mr. Alpha Male. Oh, I don't cry in movies.
Yeah. I can watch 20 Adam Sandler Click movies and not cry.
Oh, yeah. Also, no, I did not cry at Click.
Chucky's
either.
Mom's did dead. Didn't cry at that shit either. Phil and Lil didn't cry at those two little brats. Angelica, forget it. Didn't cry then. Fuck you, Rugrats in Paris.
All right. Well, let us know if you cried. Tweet us what movie you've cried at. Cried in.
Just let us know if you cry in general.
Let us know if you've cried. Let us know the last time you cried, period. Isn't that like a Dane Cook thing?
Remember last Dane time Cook? I cried, actually, I dropped a few tears when my little baby was born. I can tell you when the last time I cried was. So I'm going to tell you I'm not a big crier, but then I cried during that too. So maybe I am. Maybe I'm just trying to suppress all this shit.
Actually, there was a movie that we got last night in the Rotten Tomatoes game. What was it? Was it Dan in Real Life that Dane Cook was in? We couldn't remember what Dan in Real Life was, and we looked it up, and on the poster was Dane Cook. But was that? Are we sure that was the movie?
So what are the three movies? Dan, there's Dan in Real Life. There's Lars and the Real Girl, and there's one more that I'm missing that had Jason Segel in it.
We have to circle back to news. I'm sorry. There is one bit of news we did not talk about. We tweeted this out. It's a poster. Trill actually saw it first. A poster for a movie that is coming out. When is it coming out? It's with Emma Roberts and Hayden Christensen called Little Italy. And I don't know much about it. Ken Jack, you did a little bit of a deep dive, right?
Yeah, I took a little bit of a look into it. It looks very interesting. It's a sort of a Romeo and Juliet type tale between two children of pizzeria owners. And apparently it's connected to the Mystic Pizza universe in more than one way. From everything we've seen about it, the fonts are the same. It's the same logo. Also, it's Emma Roberts and Robbie's related Julia Roberts. And I don't know. It looks interesting. I'm buttered the fuck up on this. And we're starting, I believe, the Oscar watch for it. And the most annoying thing I think about this entire saga of us finding the Little Italy movie is that we were the first ones to report it. And then everyone else took it over and made a moment out of it. And we didn't get involved. Like, we didn't get mentioned. It's fucked up, internet. Yeah.
I'm not sure if we're the ones who discovered it, because I found it on Twitter and I just don't remember who I saved the picture from. But I don't think it was a viral tweet yet. I mean, it is pretty ridiculous. And it's more so just like the 2005 styling and posing on the front of the poster for Hayden Christensen, who is wearing the lightest wash blue jeans ever imaginable. His hair is styled like he just fucking stepped out of 2006, like thinking that no mortgage crisis was even coming. And he just has this stupid little smirk on his face. Emma Roberts looks fine, but the whole concept is preposterous. Just preposterous.
I think the best thing about it is that in order to, like, the studio had sat down and they're like, okay, we got Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts. Neither of them are Italian at all. How are we going to make them look Italian? And they just dyed both their hair the same color of brown. And they're like, they're now Italian. This is canon. They don't look, it doesn't suit either of them at all.
Yeah, and there's one on-screen couple we've just been dying to see is Emma Roberts and Hayden Christensen.
Like 50-year-old Hayden Christensen and, I don't know, 25-year-old Emma Roberts.
He's 37.
He looks aged.
You know, yeah, I thought Hayden Christensen...
I don't make fun of his age here, but he does look a little older than 37. She's 27. I thought he was probably in his mid-40s based off the picture.
He looks like Johnny Knoxville in this picture, unfortunately.
He does.
Now, Johnny Knoxville is fine, but he's not Hayden Christensen. I think it's just a bad photo. I will say this. Hayden Christensen, why not reunite him with Rachel Bilson for this movie to have a little jumper callback? Like, Emma Roberts is just a weird casting choice because I don't associate her with, like, Little Italy or pizzas or Hayden Christensen. It's tough. It's tough. She's just very out of place in this poster.
It's a great poster, and I love the graphic design job they did for the logos for both of them. It's like fucking Comic Sans shit, like graphic design is my passion sort deal. It's just great. It's just a perfect movie for me. I love it already. And I'm not a big ABC movies guy, but this is my perfect ABC movie.
Vince's the best pizza.
Vince's the best pizza.
Pizza.
Where is it called? Vince's Pizza the best.
underrated that's part of the poster, though, is the heart that's like up at the top of like the Little Italy sign for some reason. Is that like an Italian thing or something? Like, or did they just add a heart there?
Yeah, dude, Italians have hearts too.
No, I mean, but like, why is the heart there? Like, why is it like
they're in love, dude?
Yeah, but like, okay, it's just a guy. You know, I'm trying to go off your point that you said this looks like a bad graphic design project, and then you're just ripping me a new one right now, Ken Jay.
Well, that was a good graphic design choice. Who doesn't love a heart?
This is a very bad time for this team to be falling apart at the seams. Somebody had to say it. Somebody had to come out on the podcast and say it. This is the worst possible episode for us to fall apart at the seams. So we just need to pull it together.
Yeah, all very right. True. Okay, I will say we have an issue here. There is no release date on this movie that I can find.
Bring it straight to Netflix. Let's just make this a sensation.
Yeah.
They also, could shark. They could ooh.
She is.
Yeah.
They could Sharknado this real hard. If this is a bad movie, what if it ends up being just like Pretty Woman, like 2018 version, just a classic rom-com?
Yeah, we had to stop and talk about that one because we were blown away by that one. It was some pretty wild shit. Okay, back to questions. Okay. Would you rather sit next to a loud chewer at every screening you go to for a movie or watch every movie in 3D but without glasses? Which, by the way, when I went to go see Last Jedi, two of my friends took off their 3D glasses and just watched it. Glasses off.
Go with the loud chewer. That's my pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with the chewer because the movie's going to most likely drown out the chewer. Unless it's A Quiet Place.
Dude, I'm just thinking, do you remember that one movie we went to, Jeff, where like the door kept making a little squeaky noise? So I'm thinking, imagining that, just how frustrating that was, and applying it to somebody chewing just like right next to you, something real fucking loud. And I'm going to pick the 3D movie because whatever, I've seen enough shitty stream movies where like, I don't really care about the video quality, but if the audio is really bad, I'm just not going to be into it.
Name one movie that has a really great core idea that was not executed well at all. So a movie Troy. That should have been good. Troy?
Yep.
It's interesting. It's obvious for me. I've actually said it a few times in the pod, I think. Do you know which one it is for me?
No, you got me on ice here.
The Purge.
Yeah, that's right.
The Purge is a terrifying, cool premise for a movie that has just not worked so far. And now they're throwing Marissa Tomei at it, and they're going to try and see if the prequel will help it out. But The Purge was a movie that was just executed terribly, I thought. That was, at the same time, to me, a really intriguing idea.
I think I got my answer. I agree with you, Jeff. I'm going to go In Time, the Justin Timberlake, Amanda Seyfried movie from 2011, I think. Not that great of a movie, but the general concept was around like everybody lives till they're like 25, and then they have like an extended time ticker that goes on, and then the rich people have a bunch of time. Everybody pays with time. So a little bit of some poorly done social commentary in this movie, but in terms of like the sci-fi universe, I think they could have gone like way, way cooler with it, and they didn't really even expand on that. So I'd like to see that again. I kind of like the general dystopian vibe of it. Not really the movie itself, but just everything else.
So never say Trill is not like one of our listeners, because the person that asked that question also put in the footnote, In Time is my example, or something like that.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, right on the nose with you. Yeah, boom. Same exact thing.
I liked that movie, though. I mean, it was a bad movie, but it was enjoyable. Imagine executing that universe well. It'd be kind of cool.
Mom? Who played his mom in that? Because I remember his mom. I think it's weird because like the time doesn't move. And like
Olivia Wilde.
That's right. And his mom looked the same age as him, and it was just weird, their interaction. It was very uncomfortable.
The weirdest role in that movie was Amanda Seyfried's dad. The movie was played by Vincent Kartheiser from Mad Men.
Oh, that's right.
Pete, I think, was his name in Mad Men. He basically just played Pete.
Here's a good one. Good hypothetical. What movie would score better in Rotten Tomatoes? And we'll say critic score. A Quentin Tarantino movie starring Amy Schumer or a Christopher Nolan movie starring Kevin Hart? That's a great question. It's a really good question. Which movie would have a better Rotten Tomatoes score? And throw out any critic. Well, no, maybe not. That's part of the equation. So you can keep in critic disdain for Quentin Tarantino and some of the things he does. Oof, that's tough, man.
I'd go with Quentin Tarantino because I think the way Quentin Tarantino would utilize Amy Schumer would be so subversive that everybody would love it.
That's a good question, man. I think I'm going to pick Kevin Hart mostly because, like, people are very bearish on both Tarantino and Amy Schumer right now. People are still love Kevin Hart and love Nolan. So I don't know. I think that would do better.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with Utrill. I think that I could see him utilizing Amy Schumer in a role that makes sense. I mean, hey, he used Mike Myers, you know, like if Mike Myers works, then I, you know, Amy Schumer, I'm sure can work as well. Like it's a comedy person in a movie that for the most part, Quentin Tarantino's movies have some humor in them. And I guess Nolan does too, but his humor is, I think, typically more subtle and a little drier, where Kevin Hart is neither of those. I mean, whether you like Kevin Hart or not, it's not a knock on Kevin Hart. He is not subtle. He is not dry. He's very in your face comedy wise. That's a good question though. I'll lean Amy Schumer, but that is a very good hypothetical that we may have to throw out there on Twitter. See what the people say. I like that one.
I like those hypotheticals. They make you think. They have you crafting the movie in your mind about like what the role could possibly be.
Yeah, that's a hell of a good question. Here we go. Based solely off of talent, who would you rather see be the villain in the next Bad Boys? Craig T. Nelson or Whoopi Goldberg?
Craig T. Nelson.
Very random question, but would you rather Craig T. Nelson or Whoopi Goldberg? Which this says Whoopsie Goldberg, so clearly a Tim and Eric fan, but Whoopi Goldberg as the villain in the third Bad Boys coming out in 2020.
So the question says based solely on talent. I don't know if I know enough to go head to head to evaluate the talent comparisons between Craig T. Nelson and Whoopi Goldberg. So point of ignorance on my part, I apologize. I will tell you what I would rather see would be Craig T. Nelson in that role, because I think he could play a more tongue-in-cheek, stereotypical bad guy. Like, because he just looks like one. He's Craig T. Nelson. Look at his face.
He's scary looking.
Yeah, he's scary looking, dude.
Whoopi is like
incredible.
Whoopi is so inviting. Like I'm not afraid of her at all. Especially for anyone who's watched The Next Generation. Like she's like a counselor. Like she's like a very nice human being to talk to. And I'm not afraid of her at all. But I'm sort of terrified of Craig T. Nelson's face.
Yeah, I'm afraid of Craig T. Nelson. I don't think I'll ever meet Craig T. Nelson. Hopefully I will. I'm gonna be afraid of him when I meet him though. If I do, terrifying. He looks like he's 6'9". Dude just looks like he would tower over me. Just have this hand that would just completely envelop my own hand. Be such a firm handshake.
We're going to send you out on the Incredibles 2 press tour. You can meet Craig T. Nelson. See what he's all about.
Mr. T. Nelson, can you speak a little bit about the 1996 season of Coach? I know that your character was sent to coach the Orlando Breakers professional football team, but do you ever think that he wishes he could go back to Minnesota State?
I can't do a Craig T. Nelson impersonation.
That's the end of the joke. It's the end of the joke.
Okay, so that's another good hypothetical. That's a tough one. Very hard. Moving on. What serial character or mascot would make the best movie in the serial cinematic universe? Okay. So what serial mascot movie would you most want to see, basically? There's a lot out there. I mean, from Tony the Tiger to, you know, the rabbit from...
The Trix Rabbit.
It almost just invalidated all of my knowledge on Ciro. Yeah, the Trix Rabbit, Leprechaun from Lucky Charms.
I think the Trix Rabbit. The Trix Rabbit definitely has the most potential backstory in his canon. I think that and this has been touched on many different shows like Family Guy, but years and years of being denied Trix, even the simplest bowl of Trix from these damn kids who will just not let him have any Trix, have to do something to his psyche. So I think you could do some dark character exploration of the Trix Rabbit in one of these movies. That would make the best movie, I think. My humble opinion. Not that I've thought about this.
It is true. Why did they not just give the rabbit some damn cereal? Like, what's the problem there?
I mean,
mascots.
It's not a good look in 2018 to be so fucking awful to that rabbit, you know?
Who would be like the worst one? Like the fucking Honey Smacks frog.
Let me read off some of the mascots.
Golden Crisp Sugar Bear. Can't get enough of that Golden Crisp.
The Cookie Crisp dog, the cookie, that's nothing appealing about the Cookie Crisp dog, right?
No, he steals. I mean, he steals Cookie Crisp. They're literally dressed like.
Now. Wait, he's a wolf dog? Now?
They changed it to a wolf.
Yeah, it's a wolf. Chip the wolf instead of Chip the dog.
That's fucked up. You know how many hours of consulting were paid for in order to make that change between a dog and a wolf?
Lots. This actually is paid for by the movie Alpha. It's coming out in theaters soon about the man's transition between what's that movie? It's a caveman and a relationship with dogs. Oh, by the way, I just remembered talking about our last question. Craig Nelson, he has a big old boner in the book club trailer. Do you remember that?
He does.
He's
in the movie Book Club. Yeah, the movie about 50 Shades of Grey, the older women reading it. And he, who is it? It's Mary Steengarden. Is that her name?
Yeah. Steenburgen.
Steengarden. Yeah. I was watching Ina Garden earlier. I was watching Barefoot Contessa. Jeffrey.
Yeah. Jane Fonda, Diane Keaton, Mary Steenburgen, and Candace Bergen, I think, is the lineup for Book Club.
She slips a Viagra or something into Craig T. Nelson's drink, and he has a big old boner in the trailer. You don't see it. But,
yeah. It's implied that it's huge, too. Like, the cop pulls him over, and she's like, "You have a good night, sir, and you too, ma'am." And, like, winks at him, like, damn. Craig T. Nelson packing heat.
Well, we don't know. It could be an average boner and still.
Well, what? But no, but she looked at, she did like the eyebrow raise thing at his nuts and like, well, possibly.
Oh, look, dick too. I'm just saying, like, even if it wasn't big and it was just average, that's perfectly okay for some people. I'm just saying. I mean, even if it wasn't that big, maybe a little bit below average, that would be perfectly acceptable for a lot of people.
I'm not even gonna try and.
Let's go back down the list.
I was trying to get you to play off me.
Not
damn
doing
it. We'll go back down let's just do some improv.
The cereal mascots list. We're going back to that. Keep telling me if you want to see the movie or not. Snap, Crackle, and Pop. The Rice Krispies kids. Anything out of that?
No, they have nothing interesting going. They've been looking at the same damn bowl of cereal for 80 years.
It's Sonny the Cocoa Puffs bird, who's always cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, I kind of like him. I mean, a little bit. Why are you cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Let's understand this. Like, what makes you crazy about the Cocoa Puffs?
Crack addict ass. Oh wait, no, that's also a skit in.
You know what?
Family Guy.
The captain might be the most interesting. Captain Crunch, the captain himself.
Yeah, captain's another one on this list. The Honey Nut Cheerio, Buzz the Bee. It's a fucking bee movie.
I don't like that bee. I don't like that commercial they have. It's like, good goes around and around and around. It just gets in your head the whole day.
Kellogg's has a couple basic, really shitty ones. The rooster from Corn Flakes and the Raisin Bran Sun, always holding those two scoops of raisins.
They have the Smacks Frog, too. Don't forget about the Smacks Frog.
Dig'em?
Yeah.
Isn't that a Kellogg's product? Or is that
No, yeah, Honey Smacks. What? Remember when Tyler was on, we talked about Golden Grahams, and he compared, or was it you that compared the Golden Grahams beer to Bob Hope? How yeah. they need to rebrand that cereal?
Yeah. It's Golden Crisp Bear.
Right, Golden Crisp, yes.
Yeah. His name is, I forget what his name is, but yeah, he's definitely Bob Hope. They ripped off Bob Hope on that one. Things that don't play well today.
Count Chocula, the Fruit Loops, Toucan Sam, bunch on there. There's going to be a movie about. I'm surprised Tony the Tiger hasn't had a movie yet, for sure. In 2018, I'm surprised Tony the Tiger hasn't had a movie yet.
What would be his movie?
I'm surprised it didn't pop up in Ready Player One. Was Garfield in Ready really Player One?
I don't remember.
I'd want to cosplay as Garfield, the lasagna cat.
Lasagna cat. Jim Davis was in Ready Player One. Someone avatared as Jim Davis, not as Garfield. What's the guy's name in Garfield? John Arbuckle?
John Arbuckle, yeah.
That'd be a funny one to have in Ready Player One.
Like, nice. That's your character? Like, I'm John Arbuckle. I am the character most famously known for owning Garfield. The best understanding of Garfield is that John Arbuckle is also a cartoonist in the Garfield comics, and so it's like a self-insertion comic for Jim Davis. So he's basically just creating a comic where he just gets repetitively owned by an orange cat all the time. Like, why would you do that? It's like his eternal torment is like in his mind and he's just trying to get it out on paper.
Oh man. Two more. First, well, this one says, well, no, we'll do this one last. Who will win an Oscar first, Dwayne Johnson or Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd's got a humdinger coming out later with Steve Coogan that looks like it has a possibility for Oscar contention.
So my thing with Paul Rudd is I think Paul Rudd is obviously in fewer movies than Dwayne Johnson, which does seem crazy because you feel like Paul, you see Paul Rudd all the time. So, man, I think Paul Rudd has the chops to get it, but Dwayne Johnson is going to pump out so many movies that it's almost like at this point, yeah, the odds are higher than Paul Rudd potentially just because he's going to be in so many fucking movies.
Did you see Fundamentals of Caring? Fundamentals of Caring. It's a Netflix movie. It's a Netflix movie. He plays like a caretaker for somebody who has with a birth defect handicap or something. It's really fucking good. It was a phenomenal movie. Real tearjerker. Selena Gomez was in it too.
I don't feel like I've heard of that. I don't know. I'll have to go look that up. That's tough though. I'm gonna have to say Paul Rudd.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna have to go with Paul Rudd right now until Dwayne Johnson shows a pivot towards more prestige oriented films, which I think he'll take at some point, but I had to see that first. Because right now, he's doing the Jungle Cruise, and he's doing the Hobbs spinoff movie. The Hobbs spinoff movie. So his immediate future is pretty booked. Paul Rudd can just release some shit tomorrow, and we don't even know.
Yeah, and he could land in some Apatow role that gets really serious, and he just nails it like a serious comedic performance, and he gets an Oscar nod. I could see that happening. Paul Rudd's got some range. I mean, who ever thought Paul Rudd would be a superhero? He's going to be a pivotal superhero in Avengers 4. So Paul Rudd has some acting range. Last question. When do you guys stop being assholes and finally tell us your quote-unquote big news? I don't know.
Tough to say.
It's hard to say.
I'm going to go rogue here. All right, here goes.